There are six aspects that tie into good mental health: mood, stress, anxiety, well-being, physical health, and resilience. And in times of stress and uncertainty, some or all of these can be significantly affected. Joep van Uxteren is the research and development lead at the Summary Wellbeing and Resilience Centre, which has been measuring the well-being of the population through a self-guided online tool. He spoke to The Wire's Sarah Martin about the findings of the centre's well-being tool before and after the pandemic hit.
When you look at the indicators of mood, anxiety and stress, we saw an image that really matched the normal numbers that you always hear about, you know, the 1 in 5 adults experiencing mental illness. And if you looked at well-being, 50% of people that we would engage with would show high levels of well-being, which is the score that you want to have. And then if you work with specific organizations, student populations are pretty terrible. But if you go to workforces, it's generally okay.
And what changes have you seen in that data since this pandemic?
Depression problems, anxiety and stress problems were between 10 and 15% higher for anxiety and stress, and up to 22% higher for depression, which is pretty profound. And even well-being and resilience declined with around the 12 to 15% mark. And when I talk about proportions, I'm not talking about their averages going, but I'm talking about people going into risky groups. So you move from a healthy score to an unhealthy score. We go from having around 50% of people with healthy scores on all domains, so they have no problems with the stress, they have good resilience and good well-being, to just over 20%. That's pretty worrying that 80% of the people that come to you are either at risk of developing mental illness or already have symptoms of mental illness.
What can we take from this information societally and also individually in terms of how we might approach improving it?
The conversation about mental health because of COVID has really been launched forward. So people are okay now to discuss it because they can see it in the context of the pandemic. So we have an opportunity now to just actually look at, okay, what does it mean that there are so many people asking for help and that they are showing a worse mental health profile, and what services do they actually need? Just sending them to a psychologist or a psychiatrist is not going to help people who just have low well-being or low resilience. We have an opportunity now to provide specific services for people who don't necessarily show clinical disorder. And we've kind of forgotten about them a little bit in the way we provide services. The biggest worry for us is, can we get adequate resourcing to help deal with such a large proportion of the population? Because that's 20 to 30% of the population. So that's millions of Australians.
Governments have been announcing increased funding for mental health services. Do those models go to the right places for those areas that you've just covered, that resilience and well-being aspects of the problem?
For that specific part, it's not really being directed at the right resources. I do want to commend the government on their approach to this so far. They have opened up a significant amount of resourcing, and they have been very open to trying to find new ways of reaching the rest of the population outside of the clinical domain. That being said, I think it's a good first step, but I hope it doesn't stay here, because if it does, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to deal with the real fallout of it.
You mentioned before that students often show a less positive mental health outcome. What are the factors that drive that?
Younger people have more problems with their mental health and well-being in our data sets. It's also the shift in their identity. So you put in an environment where your identity and roles are shifting. So that comes with a lot of insecurity. A lot of them are just really poor. It's the demands for being in a student environment, having deadlines all the time. It's a difficult transition period in one's life. And that inevitably comes with challenges for someone's well-being and their mental health.
It's interesting because, as you outlined, those aspects of financial insecurity, job insecurity, stresses and uncertainty really does seem like there's a very clear parallel with what more of the population are experiencing now.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on now. It's a massive change for all of us, and it's just that insecurity that's just going to make some vulnerabilities that we might already have within us just come to the forefront a bit more. What I always try and stress is that it's not all doom and gloom. Yeah, sure, we're going into a time that's not the greatest for us. But for a lot of these symptoms, there's a lot out there that you can actually do to help mitigate that. Taking time for yourself, going on walks to clear your head, physical activity is a massive one. There are all these little tricks that we tend to push away when we start feeling under pressure. And that's actually the last thing that we should be doing. Now is not the time for us to be putting ourselves in the second spot.
Joep van Aksteren, the research and development lead at Samri Wellbeing and Resilience Centre. He was speaking with the Wise Sarah Martin.